listening to Time Out for Sports with Joe Smith.
A weekly wrap of local, state, and national sports happenings all summer long.
On News Talk 96.1
and AM 1370 WGCL.
Now, here's your host, Indiana Sportscasters Hall of Famer, Joe Smith.
Good evening, everyone. High atop One City Center, downtown Bloomington, week number 7, Time Out for Sports here in the studio, along with all of our sponsors, our producer tonight, Jim Ritter, and we have the Cubs, Kyle Schwarber, and the Cubs game 2 of the series with the Reds, 7 o'clock pregame with Marty Brenneman. Lots to do this week. We have the Brickyard. It's the Crown Royal presents the 400 at the Brickyard. That is the specific way they want that particular race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway introduced, if you will, and we'll have that coming up on Sunday. Well, we got a lot to get to, and we might as well get to it on this beautiful Tuesday here. And joining us on the phone, Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, vacationing, taking some well-deserved time off. And Prepster, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Joe. Good to be with you. Thanks for letting me kind of call it in today.
Well, you can call it in any time, but, hey, you deserve a vacation, and like I said, well-deserved. Hey, you know, Jeremy Gray was telling me earlier, Fred, and we'll kind of start with a vital arm to Indiana University Athletics, the one team, 24 sports. And how about the varsity club giving and setting an annual giving record of well over $12 million? We'll start right there. That's great news.
Yeah, it really is, Joe. And our staff does a really, really terrific job led by Scott Dolson there and just really strong staff from top to bottom. And as many of your listeners know, and some may not, one of the most critical functions of the varsity club is to raise that annual fund number. As you pointed out, $12.3 million record this year. But all that money goes to fund the scholarships for our student athletes. It's not like IU just lets the kids go for free. For every kid that has a scholarship, we have to pay cash money on the barrelhead to the university for their room, board, tuition, books, fees, so forth and so on. And so as tuition costs go up, obviously those increase costs for us. And now with student athletes enjoying the full cost of attendance, getting a miscellaneous expense account for their miscellaneous needs, that's jumped the thing up almost $1 million. So they've needed to set new records. They have set new records. We really appreciate the varsity club, but most importantly, we appreciate our donors.
Yeah.
The IU fans that dig deep and support these student-athletes and help them get an education.
No question about it, because, you know, the quality speaks for itself in all of our student-athletes, and it's not getting any cheaper as far as putting budgets together and what have you. You know, we're a little past halfway here in this month of July, but it's a big month, isn't it, Fred, for recruiting in many of our sports?
Yeah, it really is, and our guys are on the road and, you know, getting the nooks and crannies to identify people. Ironically, sometimes we have to go to other places to see Indiana kids because of the activities they're in and the various tournament and events that they have. And it's not just basketball, but baseball, golf, tennis, and they're on the road. But, you know, what did Ali say? You know, champions are made in the gym. And then champions not only are made in the gym, but in college, they're made on the recruiting trail, and we've been pleased with the success we're having there.
And mentioning, Amy Burberry will be joining us in studio live, and we're going to talk a little about the impact and the World Cuppers, the World Cup champions, U.S. of A. And, Fred, I got to believe from we'll get to more from Amy about these young girls really tuned into that. Everybody in America was. Wasn't that just great to see women's soccer on the map in the world and coast to coast?
Yeah, really, really true, Joe. And just, I'm so glad that Amy's going to be with you today. She's one of our real up-and-coming stars on our coaching staff. Came in and immediately had an impact, even before she was getting her own kids in there to take the kids to bigger and bigger heights, and had a lot of firsts in her first year. So we're really excited to have Amy and her enthusiasm, ability, talent, and the confidence the kids have in her. She's doing a great job. And as you said, with the USA women's soccer team, It almost felt like 99 mm-hmm. All over again, although, you know, a higher degree of expectation because U.S. women's soccer has been such a powerful player on the international scene. And, you know, I was watching what I was kind of glad the way that game ended up because I was so nervous. And then they jumped out ahead, and not that you exactly relaxed, but you could relax a little bit. So anyway, can't imagine them winning a more commanding style, and I think that will help women's soccer in the U.S., including at Indiana University.
Yeah, Amy will have her lead weekend for girls 9 to 12 and grades 9 to 12, so that couldn't fit in any better. And I think from a marketing standpoint, you know, one thing, not only has she been successful, Fred, in her first 2 years, but a boon like this will certainly have fallout, but she's getting fans in the stands, and it's really picked up in its popularity over the last couple of years anyway.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's a real tribute to Amy and her team, her administrative team, as well as her students on the team. And then, but our marketing folks have been helpful. They're doing some creative things there, and you know, it's one of those things. If we can get people to a game, then the next sale is easy because they play an exciting brand of soccer. Something that our fans respond really well to.
Fred Glass joining us, going behind the scenes here on a Tuesday night, about 14 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. Amy Burberry will be joining us a little bit later tonight. Well, Fred, we look at the month, and we look next month, and football season is really, really getting close. Less than, 2 months away now.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but the guys are getting back around. And I talked to Kevin Wilson earlier today, and he really likes the feel of the team. And I get around the guys, and there's a real strong drive among this group of kids. And not only are we bigger, stronger, faster, but I think there's a cohesion that comes with, you know, being further along within this coach's regime, and the guys having a lot of confidence in each other. So I'm really excited about the season. I think there's a real reason to be positive and optimistic. I think we have a fun non-conference schedule, and if things go well, we could have a really cool Big Ten opener with the national championship Ohio State Buckeyes coming to town to kick off the Big Ten slate.
Yeah, tickets available, 866-IU-SPORTS, or even easier, and boy, than ever, really. How about our new IUHoosiers.com webpage, huh?
Yeah, that's, you know, it wasn't a secret that the earlier website, I think, had some challenges to it. And the new webpage, you know, IUHoosiers.com, is so much easier to use, more intuitive, hopefully helps our fans access what they want, and that, along with our new Pacquiao ticket process, makes it really easier to do things online, buy tickets online, and I think we've gone from the Stone Age to the Space Age in terms of our online capabilities. So hope our fans that maybe had gotten away from that give us another try and use it to buy some tickets, because it's going to be a really fun season, a lot of fun things lined up, a good schedule of opponents and some fun things game by game that I think will create a fan experience that people will really enjoy.
No question about it. Fred was mentioning OSU. Michigan's coming to town. Of course, Southern Illinois kicks things off. Florida International, Western Kentucky, Rutgers, Iowa. So, again, get your tickets. And, again, IUHoosiers.com, and you'll be navigated to the very specific site to order your tickets. By the way, mentioning football, next week, Big Ten Conference kickoff luncheon, and boy, isn't it neat to, and I spent some time with him. He was in Mellencamp, you know. Andrew Luck was down, and along with IU Health and Riley's Children's Hospital, the Change the Play program, my golly, Fred, they had to run two sessions on Sunday, close to 500 kids, but a lot of the football team, and Nate Sutfeld there, and it's great seeing him, and I know what an honor it is for him to be able to address the Big Ten luncheon on the 30th.
Yeah, we're really proud of Nate on being selected for that. You know, the conference and the football programs are chock full of outstanding students, and we're just thrilled that that Nate has been selected to be speaker for the kickoff luncheon. And people have gotten a lot of attention in the past, have done that. We've had some great football player speakers, and I think Nate will be do a great job as well, and not take a backseat to any of those guys. And you know his story.
Yep.
Maybe a lot of listeners don't so much, but a family of NFL players, but more importantly, a family of active missionaries and philanthropists, and their hands-on work changing lives on the African continent is really something special. And then, of course, Nate's got his personal story about going down in that Iowa game and broke all of our hearts there, particularly including his own. But comes back as a highly regarded quarterback. Was one of the elite quarterbacks in the Manning quarterback camp.
Mm-hmm.
They're all elite quarterbacks in there, but he was the cream of that crop. And don't know about early mock drafts, but he's been talked about as a first round draft choice. So a compelling personal story, a selfless guy, somebody that's really going to carry the Hoosier flag for us in Chicago and do a great, great job.
And that'll be a week from Friday. I said on the 30th. The 31st is the final day of the month, and
right.
That is Friday, and that's the day of the luncheon. And Darius Rainer, Jason Spriggs will be joining Nate as our representatives there, along with Coach Kevin Wilson. You know, one of the neat things coming up a little bit later, football-related, talk to me a little about this new Let's Dig In, the 70th anniversary of the Big Ten Championship Hoosiers back in 1945, Fred.
Yeah, Joe, I don't know. I assume you've seen it. I don't know how many of your listeners have seen it, but we've really gone with an ad campaign this year that really tells a story, and who better but to read the words that Herman Wells said to that 1945 championship team than our own George Taliaferro, who reads that in dramatic and effective style. And Let's Dig In is a phrase that comes out of Wells' own speech and Wells' own words, that 45 team. And our department, and more importantly our team, has embraced that. There's actually a little web page that's got the typewritten speech that Wells wrote himself and some background story on that whole thing. And so we're trying to have a narrative, have a story, and draft off the fact that it's the 70th anniversary of that 45 team. I think the last time we won the Big Ten championship outright, and our kids are embracing it, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun for us.
Well, you're on a roll, as I just glance at names, and international success with a lot of IU flavor, World University Games, the FINA World Championships are coming up, Fred, and we have six of our divers and three swimmers over in Russia starting later in the week. They'll get rolling on Friday, but how about Lindsey Vrooman winning a couple of silvers in as many days over in South Korea at the World University Games, and it's just great to see our kids, lay it on the line and get things done and bring home medals in the process.
You're exactly right, Joe, and that's another thing in the summer. You know, it slows down kind of generally, but our a lot of our kids do get a chance for international competition, and you mentioned a lot of it's in the area of swimming and diving where we have traditional strengths. One of our young women won the French amateur women's open. We had Angel won a silver medal in wrestling in the Pan Am Games. So Indiana has a great tradition of international success, whether it's the World Games or the Olympics. I think the statistic is if Indiana University were as a country, we'd be like the 21st most medal winning country in the world. So we've got that great tradition. It continues on, and really proud of our students who did a lot of great things this summer.
22 past the hour, and finally, Fred, I would assume that you'd like to place someone in the spotlight for the month of July. Go right ahead.
Well, I kind of like to end where we started, Joe. The varsity club just does an absolutely great job, and under Scott Dolson's leadership, they really help connect us with our donor base, Bo Bauer, Kelly Bamba, of course, Kevin Van Roy, Katie Bradford, Laura McCray, Justin Sutherland, Chris Minderman, Laura Laney Hoffman, Katie Watson, a great, great group, and any one of them could be my employee of the spotlight, but I'm going to pick Bo Bauer.
Okay.
Came to IU a few years ago. Some of the people say we stole him from Notre Dame. I like to say we saved him from Notre Dame. We rescued him from Notre Dame and brought him to Indiana University. He's a great guy. He was an all-star Indiana basketball player. He's at Lewis Cass, as you know, the home of Ted Kitchell.
Oh, yeah.
Played at the Florida Gulf Coast, and the dude just really he gets it, man. He knows what being a Hoosier is all about, and reaches out to our donors and alums and others around the state, and we literally would not have accomplished our $12.3 million giving campaign without Bo. So Bo Bauer is my employee in the spotlight.
Well, finally, Fred, I know you're getting some rest, but you've been in tune with how the progress of the renovation of the Assembly Hall is coming around. How's that? You got any quick updates for us there?
Yeah, it's doing great, Joe. I mean, that's kind of job one for me, is tracking that and making sure it's on schedule, on budget, and it's both those things. And I don't know if any of your listeners have been past 17th Street, but they've seen how the facade has sort of been peeled off there, facing 17th Street south, southerly toward campus, and we'll soon be rebuilding that, and all the kind of boring stuff, sewer lines are being moved, and a lot of things that aren't too visual, but we're apace, and really excited about the end product. You know, there's the gears are going to grind here as we transition.
Yeah.
It'll be a little tough this season with parking and all that, and we'll try to be very communicative about how have people deal with that. But it's going to be really terrific, and then preserve the best home court advantage in college basketball.
Well, my friend, as always, thanks for taking time out of your vacation to join us live tonight, Fred, and we'll see you back in B-Town. You'll be fully ready to go and energized, and just have a great rest of the week. Give my best to the family.
Tan, rested and ready, Joe, and give Amy my best. She's one of our stars.
Oh, no question about it. We'll do that, and take care of yourself, and we'll see you in August, BTS.
Great. Joe, thanks so much for having me on.
Fred Glass joining us live tonight, vacationing and taking it easy. A well-deserved rest for the skipper of the athletic department. Right now, 25 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. Time out for sports. Show number 7 here during the summertime. And mentioning Amy Burberry, we'll talk a little soccer, a little about the World Cup impact it's going to have now on the rest of the world, the United States, and the Indiana Hoosiers getting ready for another season number 3 for Amy. She'll be joining us, and we'll have lots more here on a Tuesday night. You're listening to Time Out for Sports on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back, everyone. A Tuesday night to you. TOS, Time Out for Sports. And joining us, talk a little Indiana University women's soccer. The head coach entering her third year, Amy Burberry. And, Amy, I think back to the first year, before you had even coached a Hoosier game, you almost sat right there in that chair during one of these summertime scenarios as you took over as the Hoosiers. And, boy, time flies, doesn't it?
It really does. I can't believe some of the kids on the team were in camp right now. We were talking about it today, just saying how time flies that we're actually entering our third season.
Well, I know you've had camp for some of the younger girls, and you got a session coming up this weekend. Well, it starts, Friday, I guess, and runs through the weekend the older girls, grades freshman through senior. Talk a little about that.
Yeah, it's our elite weekend. It's training a youth player as a college soccer Division I athlete. We bring in other coaches around the country to coach the teams. It's high level, lots of 11v11 tactics, as well as some technical functional training. So it's pretty high level. And we've got some great, great kids coming in, so we're really looking forward to it.
Who all's have you been able to bring in from a coaching standpoint? Who's coming in to help you out?
We will have Western Kentucky there. We will also have St. Joe's up in Philadelphia. We'll have our new volunteer, Alex Greco, that just joined us from UNC Greensboro, will be one of the coaches, as well as my staff. So we're looking forward to it. We've got about 50, 60 kids, big enough but small enough that we can learn everybody's name and get them some great training.
And hopefully one or two or three future Hoosiers.
Absolutely.
They get a great feel on how the game is played and how you coach it and the success that we've had over the first couple of years. How the younger, the residential camp was earlier. Well, you said it's still going on. It ends, tomorrow?
It is. They just headed out
Thanks
to the field as I came over here.
Appreciate you.
It's fantastic. This group is awesome. We have kids from all over the country here. That's 9 to 13, okay. 14. They just headed out tonight to play a little 8v8 and 11v11, but it's been fun.
Well, and that being said, with the numbers increasing each and every year, and we're going to talk about the roster here in just a sec for Indiana U, and my golly, the season will be starting before you know it. The World Cup, just your thoughts and comments, first of all, about that great success story that captured everyone from coast to coast here in Bloomington and the entire world.
Oh, so fun. I mean, it was just, you know, and they got better every game.
They did, didn't they?
You know, and I think in that final, they really executed. I mean, I don't think anyone expected us to score so many goals in those first 10 minutes. I mean, Carly Lloyd has just been on absolute fire lately. And actually, she played at Rutgers, which many people didn't know. It was funny. There were a lot of new emerging stars throughout this where the buzz kept on going. People were looking up, where did they go to college? How did they get there? So I think it's been really great for the women's side of the game. And, you know, anytime there's a World Cup going on and the U.S. does well, the United States start to follow.
And you know, just the popularity of what was accomplished, and you've been doing a great job getting fans in the stands at home games over the course of the last 2 years. I got to believe the success of these women have helped with, the girls you've got in camp right now. What's been their reception of the World Cuppers and the job they did?
It's crazy. I mean, we're out at camp right now, and
right.
You've got these 9 to 13-year-old girls wearing U.S. jerseys with the players' names on the back. And, I mean, it is really picked up. They are excited. They're trying the corner kick that the U.S. did on that. I think it was the first goal in the final where they slotted into the penalty spot. I mean, that's going to be interesting to see how many college teams try to do that one. But it's just – it's re-energized, I think – women's soccer, and I think every year it continues to grow with a great fan base.
And we had, you know, an added side to it. Ori Velasquez, who played, of course, for Mick Lyon, was coached, competed in her second World Cup with her native country, Colombia, and for the first time in that nation's history, they won a game, and they were very competitive against the U.S.
They really were. You know, it was interesting. I got here just as Ori was graduating, so I did get to meet her and helped her a little bit through the process when she finished graduating, trying to figure out where she was going to go. So we were so proud of her to get the chance and make that 23-man roster to go to the World Cup again, because she played, I believe, in 2011 as well in Germany.
You know, you mentioned, yes, she did, and you mentioned, Amy, that the U.S. of A. got better each and every game. What was the common thread as you saw? And maybe not so much offensively or defensively, but they obviously liked one another, and the chemistry was outstanding.
It was, and I think they had a score to settle from 4 years ago when they lost, in penalties to Japan. But I think, you know, everybody always has their opinions. I think I defriended some people on Facebook when they started writing different things. But, you know, they kept with it. They stuck together. They changed their formation. I thought our defense was outstanding throughout the World Cup, especially our goalkeeping. So I think, you know, just sticking with it. And then, of course, getting to the height of where they needed to be at the end was fantastic.
Do you take away any concepts, ideas, if you will, into your coaching philosophy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, watching soccer, that's one of the biggest things on the women's side that kids don't do enough. I mean, coaches, you can really see a lot of different things by watching soccer. We encourage that all the time by our players, young kids. There's a lot of things that you can take away, not only from the U.S., but from different countries. You know, I mentioned set pieces before with that corner kick, but there's a lot of different things that you can see, styles of play, different formations. You can learn about tendencies of players. So I think there's a lot you can get in having so many games on and it being on at a similar time zone as we were in. It was great.
Amy Burberry joining us about 25 minutes before the top of the hour. Reds baseball coming up. Marty Brenneman and Brian Price at 7 o'clock. Kyle Schwarber playing again at, well, in his home state against a team that he rooted for. And he still pulls for the Cincinnati Reds, although he's wearing that number 12 in Bruin blue for the Chicago Cubs. What a great success story there. You know, we talk, Amy, about the season right around the bend. And again, too, Fred was thinking, too, from a marketing standpoint, the impact of when you play your home games. This is really going to be neat to see the intense, people wanting to come and watch women's soccer.
Yeah, I think the World Cup helps that for sure. The excitement that we had our first year and then not such a great season last year, I think everybody's hungry again. We've got some great new dynamic players. I think our sophomores from that first year when we were here and our seniors. I mean, mm-hmm. I think we've grown as a group, as a unit, as a coaching staff tremendously over the last 2.5 years.
Well, we were talking about the home football schedule numbering 7, and here you are as we just glance here after you play down in Louisville that exhibition against the Cardinals on August the 16th. Boom, here you go. 7 of your opponents played in the NCAA tournament last year.
They sure did. If you're going to be the best, you got to play the best. I mean, it's the only way to prepare. I mean, we play in one of the best conferences in the country. Every team on the women's side in the Big Ten has a soccer team. So there's 14 in our conference, powerhouses. We start out playing our first 3 games against 3 NCAA tournament teams. So we've got to quickly prepare. From what I've heard, I think our team has really done their work this summer. Hopefully we'll finally see that with our own eyes on August 5th. But I think we've got a new energy, and I think we've got the best of both worlds, going to the second round in 2013 and then not even making our conference tournament in 2014. We've got a taste of both, and I really believe we don't want that taste of last year again.
Well, you hit it right on the head because you laid your foundation. You know, we sat here 3 years ago after you were hired in February, and we're getting ready to embark upon your rookie campaign, telling me how you got interested and where you came from and this and that. You laid your foundation, and that was so important to get that first year off. And last year, but you played so many close games, it could have gone either way, and they didn't.
We did, and I think that's something we've addressed in our recruiting and with our current players, and we've tried to focus on this past spring. We lost 43% of our scoring from 2013, and I think we all knew coming in that was going to be a problem for us in 14. So I think with our recruiting and really focusing in on our attack, I think we're going to be a little bit more dynamic. We certainly were this spring, so we'll see.
Well, and you spent a lot of time out of your office over at the Assembly Hall mentioning recruiting. You're bringing 8 newcomers in. 7 of them are freshmen, and a couple of them are pretty doggone good.
Yes, 7 freshmen and 1 transfer. Out of the 7 freshmen, one of them came in January, Cassidy Blocka, Indiana kid, went to Avon High School. Okay. She did very well for us. She started in January. It was a little bit of a struggle. I think there were times that she said, "What have I done? I'm 17. I should be going to my prom." But I think in the long run, she got herself fit, and she's going to be a great leader for us with those other 6 that just joined us here this summer at summer school.
Where's Cassidy? Obviously, she was the Indiana Gatorade Soccer Player of the Year in her junior year, so she at Avon, and that's in Hendricks County, just up the road. But where does she slot in? Is she a goal scorer, a defender?
She is. You know, I always tell people there are forwards and there's goal-scoring forwards. I think in the rare ones are those goal-scoring forwards. She's proven in training to do that. I think it'll be interesting to see her now get into the mix and get into this high-level intense, you know, matches and see what she can do. But I think she has the potential to do that.
Well, and you were talking about your newcomer that has played at this level out of Central Michigan, Emily Baston. Talk a little about her.
Yeah, she's transferring in. She's going to be playing in the back for us somewhere. We're not sure yet. Had a little bit of an injury through the spring, so we couldn't quite get a great gauge on her. But she's been here this summer. Looks great, so we'll see where she slots into the mix. But she has NCAA tournament experience as a freshman. They went to the tournament and played Michigan back in her freshman year. So I think she's going to help us a ton with her leadership and experience.
Tell me who some of the impact players will be. You never know until you get the games rolling and, you know, they shed that high school All-American status, and now they're playing big-time Big Ten soccer at Indiana University under your teaching. But talk to me a little about, you know, who some of the impact players you have back that will be the nucleus that you're really counting on.
Sure. I mean, we're very young. Some of our impact upperclassmen will be fifth-year senior Sarah Stone, our goalkeeper. You know, we have four goalkeepers on the roster.
Saw that.
This year we brought in a freshman from California. You know, we've got senior Sarah Stone, Katie Grulick, Tilly Drexilius, who will be a redshirt freshman. So that position is going to be very competitive, and I think that will Sarah Stone's leadership should emerge out of that. Jesse Bajuvis will be in the center of the park for us somewhere. Has extreme leadership. Passionate soccer player, very technical. She'll kind of be our little bit of an engine there in the middle. Veronica Ellis, be a junior, has been fantastic for us. I think she has four goals in her career in the 2 years, and all of them are game winners. So she's a winner for us. So those are going to be some of our upperclassmen that are really going to be able to step in, as well as Marissa Borschke in the back.
Well, it looks like a very solid squad, and like you said, with seven freshmen coming in, are you one to utilize the red shirt? You obviously went out and recruited them. They're in here. What's your thoughts about redshirting as opposed to not redshirting them?
I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, we go through, I mean, my kids know it. We've got to find the best 11 players.
Yeah.
Regardless of scholarship, where they're from, how much money they're on. I mean, that's truly important because we've got to win. And our kids know that. So that really doesn't come into play. I think we're very protective of goalkeepers, mostly with that red shirt, because the worst thing in the world is to jeopardize a kid's eligibility by playing them 5-10 minutes. So we'll go through preseason very quickly. You know, I'd like to have a good idea by that Louisville exhibition on the 16th of what we're coming into. That's why it's so important for these kids to come in fit.
Do you see a battle? I mean, Grulich and Stone are outstanding. I mean, you know, Katie's a redshirt junior now, and of course Sarah's been around the block. She's your redshirt senior. I mean, do you anticipate a knockdown drag out between the pipes?
You know, I do. I think it's going to be quite a battle between all of them.
Well, that's what you want.
And last year, both of them played. So I think, you know, and as you know, the next goalkeeper is one play away. So you've always got to be ready, always have your gloves ready to go.
I was noticing in Caitlin Davis, who's your new SID, I still call him SID, Sports Information Director, she's taking care of your publicity. I like the SID because Sports Information Director. But Caitlin shifts over from field hockey to soccer this year for you, and she tells me that there has been a change in the format in the Big Ten tournament. It will take place over now 2 weekends. I mean, that's on down the road, but still you're playing the entire season to get in it and do well.
Sure. So there's 14 teams in our conference. 8 will make the tournament. Okay. Everybody will play their last regular season game on that Wednesday. And that, you know, that's something that we had fought for a while. Everybody was playing at different times. So not saying anyone would, but you could manipulate things a little bit. So now everybody's playing at the same time. The first round will go to the highest seed. So the 4-5 game will play at the 4 site. And so forth. The following weekend will be at the highest remaining seed, played on Friday, semifinals, Sunday, the finals. And the reason we did that is to try to give more rest and make sure we get more teams into the 64-team bracket in the NCAA tournament and have a little bit more rest.
And it's interesting, too, you mentioned that final game. That's the Golden Boot game, and it's going to be here with the PUs. And Maryland, Ohio State, you got three of the final four out on the pitch.
Right, and that's really exciting for us. I mean, having Purdue at home, finally, we've played there both of my first two seasons. We've gone there, and they've got some crazy fans. So we still have the Golden Boot in my office.
Yes,
we intend
you sure
to keep
do.
It.
I'm glad. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And that's where we exactly want it, right there where it is. All right, we got preseason coming up. And when's the squad report? And tell us a little about, you know, what's on your plate, what needs to be accomplished, what's on your agenda?
They report the 4th. And we'll start out the 5th. We'll start out with, you know, all of our fitness testing, which I'm crossing my fingers that we don't have to do too much. But I've got full confidence in them. After we left in the spring, we were well on our way and very fit. We'll get right into it. I usually like to play right away, 11v11, just see where everybody is. We'll have our board out, and every day we'll put people on it. We'll move them up, down, try to figure out what formation we're going to play. You know, early on, it looks like maybe a 4-2-3-1, could be a 4-4-2 diamond. I feel comfortable in the fact that our team can flip-flop systems. So it'll just be a matter of which 11 to 16 players really start to emerge, and we'll plug them into the formation. Our style will not change. We'll still continue with that attacking possession style. I think we're dynamic enough up top in our front six to really be able to make the games exciting and put some goals in the back of the net.
Well, too, and you mentioned earlier, Amy, that you like the energy that was generated from the spring, so at least you got a nice spring board now as you get ready to have at it here in 2015.
We sure do, and we had quite a few freshmen play last year. Mm-hmm. Taylor Coley, Kayla Smith, Annalie Leitner, Michaela Brown, all those guys are a year older and a year under their belt in the weight room, so I think it's going to be a healthy competition between those guys and then the incoming freshmen that are already here in Cassidy Blocka, Maya Piper from Michigan. You know, those guys are really going to Caroline Dreyer, who's coming in from Ohio, who has very good experience as well.
Well, again, Amy was mentioning you got the Louisville exhibition. That's down there. But then Virginia Tech kicks things off on the 21st of August in Southern Illinois, Edwardsville. They too, like we mentioned, and Missouri. Well, three in a row, they were all in the NCAA tournament. Now, that's in the Boilermaker Challenge Cup over there.
Right, so we have to go to Purdue. What was I thinking when I scheduled that?
Yeah, well, you know, at least you play a couple of high-quality teams that know how to play. I don't know, you know, I never... As you well know, your big boss, Fred Glass, I let him talk about PU and what have you. But anyway, your staff. I see Sergio's back, Gonzalez, Benji Walton, and you talked about Alex Greco. That was a nice availability that was here just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we've been talking to him for a while. He's trying to break in. He's been at UNC Greensboro. As the volunteer there, one of my former players at Auburn is an assistant at Greensboro and called me about him. We interviewed him. He is certainly the right fit for this. I think he's going to bring an extreme amount of knowledge to us. He's been here working our camp, and I've only been with him for a couple of days now, and I think he's going to be a huge help to our staff.
Well, hopefully we'll have a chance to sit down with him and talk with him here out at the stadium or, you know, where we do our shows, and we look forward to that. Sergio, going to work with the goalies?
Yes, Sergio's works with the goalkeepers and our backs. Him and I have known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
We worked together when we were young coaches at the University of Dayton with Mike Tucker, and always said when one of us makes it big, we're going to work together again.
Well,
so I guess I won that.
You know what? It's just right around the corner, and you debuted in great style, taking the Hoosiers to the NCAA tournament, and when it's all said and done, Big Ten championship banner to fly here before long. And NCAA as well for you guys. And, hey, thanks for taking time out and joining us. And, again, good luck this week with the elite camp and, you know, spread the wealth.
Thanks. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Amy Burberry joining us right now about 11 before the top of the hour, and we'll continue along, close out things, and have a few notes and quotes for you. You're listening to Time Out for Sports on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back, everyone. Time Out for Sports, along with my producer tonight, as always, Jim Ritter. By the way, our shortstop barbecue train employee of the week is Brooke Pieper. So Brooke's been doing a nice job getting her feet wet, so to speak, over at the shortstop, one of my favorite spots, and Amy Burberry's. And a lot of our guests receive gift certificates to the shortstop Food Mart and Barbecue Train right there at the corner of 10th and Smith. And, yep, the Choo-Choo's there. Choo-Choo's always there. But now, you know, they've got that walk-in place where you can, you know, sit down and enjoy or take it out as you've done in the past. You know, we put 10 new members of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame into the Hall of Fame back on, earlier this month. It was a couple of Friday nights ago, but we did have a chance to sit down and talk with a young man that grew up in our city, Bill Armstrong Jr. Here's part of that conversation.
One of the dinosaurs, a former three sports star, you and Kevin were, but what'd you take away from Friday night at the Hall of Fame, you being one of the great all-time athletes at Bloomington High School?
Well, thank you, Joe. It was an honor, first of all, but just the aspect of being able to come back to Bloomington, where I had just a wonderful childhood. Bloomington is a very special place that a lot of people take it for granted until you've been away for a number of years. And my mother had this treasure chest of all the pictures, newspaper clippings. But I was part of Bloomington back when it was during the streak, the football streak, when we had 60 games in a row where we won, undefeated for 60 games, and I was part of the first 2 years of that, my junior and senior year. But seeing a lot of friends, a lot of memories, it was a great event.
How neat was it to come back in your hometown in a setting like this with all that you accomplished? And you know, so many people talked about relationships along the way and how key they were, and you obviously no exception.
Well, there's so many people that are no longer with us too.
True.
But it was nice to be able to connect in different ways and having the memories of the times that we've had in the past. But you sometimes don't appreciate it until people are gone. And it was nice to reflect on some of the people that are still here. Al Gallo was a football coach of mine, and he did a lot for me during my years playing football. And it was nice to reflect on seeing him again. And it was nice to reflect back on some of the individuals that helped us along the way. I had four fellows that I thought a lot of through the years, and now too. Kurt Simic was at my table, and Ted Smith. So was David Tabro and Mark Litz. Four people that have been very, very influential in my life.
You know, I got to ask you, what was your favorite? I mean, you were obviously one that just rolled when the school year started in September. There you go, football, then swimming, then baseball. But was baseball your favorite, or did you have that one great Panther moment that you can remember?
Actually, that's a good question. My wife asked me the same thing. She said, what was my greatest thing? What did I like the best? And it would be hard to pinpoint that. But really what I was playing at the time was probably my favorite sport. Swimming was always the thrill of a victory, the thrill of the competition. I was more of a sprinter, so I would get in and just, we used the term, just blow it out, dude, put everything you could into it. In baseball, I loved to hit. I had such a thrill to hit, and I could stay in a batting cage or batting practice until my hands would turn to blisters. Football was more of a thrill, and we had such a fun time. And the first year that we went undefeated was somewhat of a surprise. Nobody had predicted us to be in the top 20, let alone the top 10 in the state. We went down, our first game was against New Albany, and they were top five in the state, and we were nothing. We beat them 32-0. It was halfway through the season before anybody even scored on us. And we were disappointed when Jeffersonville got a touchdown. But it was a phenomenal year. Everything just seemed to peak. The whole community was behind us. So I would have to say that first undefeated season had the most excitement. But they all did. I loved all three. And so it was always hard for me to pick one as my favorite.
Well, I tell you, he was outstanding. Bill Armstrong Jr., a class of 70, Bloomington High School football, baseball, and swimming. And he was a dandy, just one of many that we put in. And from time to time, we'll be dropping that into the show here the rest of the summer. We'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Time Out for Sports on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. As always, my thanks to Vice President, Director of Athletics at Indiana U, Fred Glass, taking time out to join us on the phone tonight live from his vacation spot. He'll be back in Chicago for the Big Ten football next week. And, of course, to Amy Burberry for joining us live. And our show tonight brought to you in part by the Barbecue Train and the Shortstop Food Mart, where, again, our Employee of the Week is Brooke Pieper. For our producer tonight, Jim Ritter, all of our sponsors, Reds Baseball coming up here at the top of the hour as they take on Kyle Schwarber and the Chicago Cubs Game 2. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next week on TOS.